On one side of a lake, Jesus and his followers go over onto this other side of the lake, and a whole bunch of people follow. This great crowd follows after Jesus, and he's teaching them and things. And then after a while, he turns to his friend Philip and says, "Hey, Philip, where are we going to get bread to feed all these people? You know, they've been with us for a while. They're hungry. You've got to feed people. It's bad hospitality if you don't feed people." And Philip's like, "What? Jesus, there's like 5,000 men plus all the rest. Like, even if we had like half a year's wages, we couldn't buy enough bread for everyone to have a bite. Nothing. That's like, this ridiculous, Jesus. We give them all a crumb? Can they all have a crumb? Is that going to be enough?" But Jesus was kind of testing him. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. So Philip's like, are you crazy? But then up comes Andrew, another friend, and says, "Jesus, I found a boy here, and he's got like 5 brochen and a couple of fish. But what's that going to do? Split up 5. So you got 5 brochen, you got 5,000 men. Can you imagine cutting a brochen into 1,000? Not very satisfying, right? It's not very satisfying. But Jesus says to them, "Guys, just get the people to sit down. There's lots of grass here. Just everyone sit down." So they all sit down. And then Jesus takes these 5 brochen, a couple of fish. He gives thanks to the Father, the provider of life, the giver of life. And then he starts handing out the brochen. Pulls a bit off. There you go. Pulls a bit. There you go. Pulls a bit. There you go. Pulls a bit. There you go. Keeps going and going and going and going and going until everyone sitting there is stuffed. Full. They're completely satisfied. I don't know if you've ever felt like that before. You've eaten so much, you're like, "I'm done. I have a kapunda now. There's no space. We're finished." That's how the people were feeling. They're like, "We're done." They're completely satisfied. And Jesus says, "All right then, let's not waste anything. Let's pick up all the crumbs. Just keep the crumbs. You guys can take this as kind of take them home for afterwards." And so they pick up all the crumbs and they fill with the crumbs. They fill 12 whole baskets with crumbs. There's more crumbs left than there were brochen at the beginning. It's ridiculous. Jesus has completely satisfied the desires, the felt needs of this crowd of thousands in the middle of the wilderness with almost nothing. There's a little picture there for us. And Jesus in a moment is going to dig down deeper into that picture. Grace read about it just now. But the little picture is this. Jesus can totally satisfy. He can totally satisfy us. The deep needs that we have, totally satisfy. He can do that. But it's interesting the way the people respond. In verse 15, they want to make Jesus king. Can you guess why? Can you see why? It'd be good to have that kind of king, wouldn't it? Yes. It'd be fantastic. Hey, the king's the guy who can give food to everyone. Say again. No, no need to work, of course. The king can just dole out the food. That's fantastic, isn't it? What's the problem here? Do they love the king? No. They love the food. Do they like bow before him? No, just give us the food. Jesus keeps pointing this out as Grace was reading. He keeps pointing out, you guys haven't seen what's going on here. You just want your belly full. Is this not sometimes our story as well? Jesus, I love you as long as you keep my belly full. I'm not just talking about my belly, I mean my desires. As long as you meet my desires for whatever it is, I'm with you. But that's it. Because ultimately, Jesus, you're not my king. You're not really my God. I'm making other cisterns. Does that make sense? I actually am looking for life and fulfillment and satisfaction in other things. Turned away from one, seeking in other things. He's not good. This is the sin we've been talking about. Looking elsewhere for satisfaction. Jesus is not gonna do this. He's like, guys, you haven't seen the sign. You haven't seen, I've just worked a sign and you've missed it. Just for a break, I want to show you a couple of signs that don't really, they're a bit hard to read. Where are the cars meant to drive? Yeah, it's a bit unclear, right? It's a bit unclear. In the water? They're kind of those car boat things, yeah, no? What about? Now hiring roast beef sandwich. They're hiring roast beef sandwiches. Is that right? I don't think that's what they meant. I don't think. I think they're hiring and they're selling roast beef sandwiches. Here's the last one. Do you get it? 2 hour parking from 7 till 8. That's 1 hour. Okay. A little bit clear. Jesus' sign wasn't unclear. If you're a bit of a Bible scholar, you know your Bible well, then you'll notice in verse 4, chapter 16, verse 4, that John says, by the way, it was Passover time. And so you're meant to have in the back of your mind Passover, which is all this stuff from the book of Exodus. I'm not going to go there, but if you're a bit of a Bible nerd, you'll have all the Exodus things in the back of your mind. The way Moses brought people out of slavery, the way he met God and God said, I am, that's who I am, I am. And then he leads them across the Red Sea and says, don't be afraid. And then he feeds them with the bread from heaven in the wilderness. If you know your Bible, you know all those things, and that's all happening in the back here. Jesus is trying to show with his sign of feeding everyone. This is a sign, right? It's a signpost to say Jesus is the God of the Exodus who can feed people in the wilderness. He's God for us. And there's the signpost. Here's the signpost saying, look at who Jesus is. Sign. And what did the people do? They eat the sign. Don't they? They eat the sign and they don't see where it points. To Jesus. And if that wasn't clear enough, the next section, the next story that happens is that the disciples, Jesus' friends, jump into a boat and they're crossing the lake and Jesus is still on the shore and they get halfway across the lake and Jesus walks along. What? Yes. Jesus walks across the lake and they look at him and they freak out and he says, I am. Don't be afraid. And immediately they reach the other side. He's the one who brings people across the water. He is the great I am and says, don't be afraid. The point is, what I'm trying to say is there's a very clear signpost here. Two great signposts and the people don't see him. They just want Jesus to meet their desires. They're not looking to him for satisfaction but to the things of this world. Are we together? You know, in Australia, when you say, are we together, it means, are we dating? And I kept saying it in sermons. And Liv was like, you've got to stop that. So, are you together? Are we together? Yeah, okay. It makes sense. Good. And I kept saying, nah. And everyone was like, what are you talking about? A few other things as well. So, let's now dive into this next section, the section that Grace read to us, where Jesus kind of, he's done these signs, and now he's kind of breaking it down and explaining what's going on here. So it starts there in verse 25, where the people come across the lake, and they say, Jesus, when did you get here? And he says, you're not looking for me because you saw a sign. You're looking for me because you want more bread. And then he has this great line, this clear line, which is, I think, kind of the main point here. He says, guys, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. That's the message, friends. That's the message today. Don't live your life seeking food, seeking the things of the world that you think will satisfy you. They don't. Have you experienced that? When you've sought after something and you thought, that'll make me happy and content and satisfied and will make me feel worthwhile, and it doesn't. That great success you had, and you're like, if I can do that, yes, I'll be something, I'll be happy, and you do it, and you're not. You know, maybe you are for a day or two. Or you drink too much. You go, yeah, I'm just going to drink, and it seems real fun, and then you wake up the next morning, and are you content and happy? You're not. sleeping around, masturbation, pornography, all these things, they seem so attractive. They seem like they're saying to you, come, I will give you life. I will make you happy. And they don't. It's exactly the kind of thing Jesus is talking about. Or forget those kind of obviously sinful things. You think, I'm going to do really well at school. And when I do really well, and when I get that mark, people will look at me and they'll say, oh, you're somebody, and I'll be so happy. You might do it. In Australia, we were there when the HSC, the end of year results came out for the end of school. And some of my friends' children did really, really well. One of them, 99.9%. Do you know when he's going to, how long that's going to take to wear off? A couple of weeks, a couple of months. Do you know what I mean? It's not food for your soul. So Jesus says, don't work for that stuff. I mean, it's not bad to work at school, but don't think it's going to feed your soul. Instead, work for the food that endures to eternal life. And the people listening say, work for the food. What work are you talking about, Jesus? What work do you mean? And he says to them, the work of God is this, believe in the one he sent. That's the work. Believe in the one he sent. Who do you think he's talking about? Himself, right? He's talking about himself. He's saying, believe in me. And that's weird, because don't we usually think believe and work are opposite? Do you know? I'm not saved by working. I'm saved by just believing, just by faith. Does that make sense? If you've been a Christian for a while, you know that believing is work. It's because you're so tempted to believe in other things, to like chase after other things in this world. And it's a work to grab yourself and say, Dan, no, come back, Jesus. Believe, trust, Jesus. It's not like I'm saved by some kind of great effort of my own. It's just a work to keep relying on Jesus. And so he's saying, that's the work. That's the work of God, to keep believing in Jesus. And so they're like, all right, Jesus, so if you want us to believe in you, what are you going to do? What kind of sign are you going to do so that we can believe in you? Anyone seeing a problem here? Didn't Jesus just do a sign? Did they see the sign? They didn't see the sign. They ate the sign. They're not, you know, they didn't see it. They're saying, why don't you do a sign? Actually, we've got a suggestion, Jesus. How about you do a sign like Moses and give us bread? You're like, didn't you just give them bread? Well, they're hungry again, so they want more bread. And Jesus says, guys, that when Moses gave you bread in the wilderness, that was just a little picture of something so much deeper. He says to them, the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Yeah, and they go, oh, you're talking about a different kind of bread. Jesus, you're on another level here. You're talking about some kind of deep, life-giving bread. And so they say, can you give us some of that bread? That sounds good. Give us that bread. And Jesus says, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. He's getting a little bit sharper and more clear about what he's talking about, right? He's saying, it's me. The bread I'm talking about that gives you life and fills your soul, it's actually me, he says. He goes on to say, whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus in this section very helpfully clarifies what he means. He says, believe. And you're like, yeah, what does that mean? He says, let me clarify. Come to me. Come to me. This is what we're called to do, to come to Jesus. Bring your life to him. Each morning when you wake, bring yourself before Jesus. Bring your concerns to Jesus. Don't stay at a distance. Come to him and rest in him, lean on him, depend on him. That's what he means. Come to me. And this great, great promise, whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Your soul will be satisfied and filled up in Jesus, content in Him. But he goes on. Guys, he says, but as I told you, verse 36, you have seen me and you don't believe. The great work is this, believe in me, come to me, but you guys don't. You saw the sign, you didn't come. You just want food in your belly. He says, all the Father, everyone the Father gives me will come and I'll give them life. I'll never turn them away. I'll never push you off. If you, the Father's will, this is great news, friends. There's kind of a challenge here and there's also a comfort, I think. The challenge is some people can see Jesus, they see him and they don't come to him. They don't believe in him. They never receive life from him. They stay hungry. Their soul remains hungry. You can come to church, you can read your Bible, you can do all the Christian things, and you never actually come to Jesus. Believe, like depend upon him and receive life from him. That's possible. You can see him and never come to him. The Father has to do a work in your heart to change you. But the wonderful comfort is this. He goes on to say, my Father really wants me to give life to everyone who comes to me. Everyone who comes to me, I'm going to give them life. And I'm never going to drive them away. This is great news. God wants you to come to Jesus and receive life from him. Satisfying, deep, rich life. And to be raised up on the last day. This is good news, I think. Please hear this. I hope you're not thinking that eternal life means after I die, I come alive again in heaven. That's part of the story. But what he's saying is, if you trust in Jesus, you will receive life today, now. You will begin to truly live and find that your hunger in your heart becomes more and more satisfied in Jesus. Have you experienced that, anyone? Is anyone finding that their soul's hunger is becoming more and more satisfied in Jesus? A few nods around the room. Certainly for me, as I come to him, keep coming to him, believing on him, I'm finding my soul increasingly satisfied. Joy. Rest. Peace, purpose, freedom. My soul is satisfied in Christ. So Jesus is making very big claims to these people. I am the bread of life. They turn around and say, you? We know where you grew up, man. You're Joseph's son. You're a nobody. And Jesus continues and says, yeah, you don't see it. Because the Father hasn't opened your eyes. You're not truly believing in me. But then he says, if you do, if you believe, you have eternal life. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever, he goes a bit, this is where he's getting even more clear, clarifying what it really means to believe. He says, whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Wow. Does that sound a bit weird? He's saying, not just believe, not just come, but eat. Eat me. That's what he's saying. It sounds very weird. You know, Christians, way back in the first century, were slandered for being cannibals. People said, oh, Christians are cannibals because they eat Jesus. It's not what he's talking about. He's talking about this idea of faith, just so he's taking Jesus in. It's really hard to describe what faith is. So he's using other pictures. Come, eat. They're a bit like, what are you talking about, Jesus? So he says it one more time, right at the end, very clearly. He says, very truly I tell you, if you don't eat the flesh of the Son of the Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Very clear. When I was in Australia, it was Christmas time, And some people in Australia have Christmas trees. Have you ever seen a Christmas tree all kind of decorated in tinsel and colours and things? Do you know what happens to the Christmas tree 3 weeks later? It's gone, right? Because the moment you cut the Christmas tree down, stick it in your house or whatever, it's dead. It's not connected to the roots anymore, yeah? And you put like beautiful colours on it and everything. Oh, isn't it beautiful? Yeah, but it's dead. You know, it's disconnected from the life source. And that's humans. If we're not connected to Jesus, you're a Christmas tree. You're disconnected from the life source. And you put on all these beautiful things of like, I've got a great job and I've got a great family. Look at whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's just tinsel and colours. You're dead. That's what Jesus is saying. If you don't come to me and eat me, take me in, build your life on me, there's no life. Christmas tree. But whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. They have eternal life. Again, when I was in Australia, most of you know my father died a year ago. On the anniversary of his birthday, we took the ashes from when he was cremated, and we took them to like a beautiful place that he used to love going, and we kind of scattered them everywhere like this. And it was great to remember that my father has life. He's alive with the Lord. He has life. But the only reason my father has life today is because he had life in Christ all the way through his life on earth. Do you have life? Christmas tree? Or are you rooted in Jesus, feeding on him? That's the path of life. I will say, I have a distinct memory from many, many years ago. As a young Christian, I didn't get what faith was. I didn't know what believing was. I thought it meant agreeing with the Bible in my brain. Oh, yeah, I agree with all the Bible. I must believe. Jesus is telling us it's something much more. It starts there. But it also involves coming to Jesus and involves feeding on Jesus. It's like, one writer says it like this. It's like you have an appetite for Jesus. Does anyone have an appetite for Kapana? Yeah? Yeah. About three people. That's good. We've got an appetite for Kapana, yeah? You're like, I love that stuff. And sometimes when you're hungry, you say to yourself, oh, mate, Kapana's a bad example. Let's go with pup instead. You're hungry and you're like, oh, I've got an appetite to fill this hunger, pup, or something. The Christian says, I've got a heart appetite, and where am I looking to fill it? Jesus. I know he can fill it. I'm not looking anywhere else. I'm looking to Jesus to fill me up. I've got an appetite for Jesus. That's what a Christian does. We are going to have, as you saw a moment ago, a fasting and prayer and optional fasting week. One thing I love doing when I'm fasting is just to say, when the hunger wells up, the hunger comes, ooh, Jesus, you're what I really need. Sure, I need food eventually, one day, right, of course. But Jesus, you're what I really need. You're my food, actually. Jesus goes on, he says, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. And you're like, Jesus, you're pressing this. You're really pushing this. Do you really want us to chew on your arm or something? Like, what are you talking about? Are we going to take a slice off and cook a steak or something? Real food. And I think he's getting at a point. It's really clever. I think what he means is, what is food? Like, isn't food the stuff you put in your mouth so that you stay alive? Something like that, right? Am I being, is it? Sometimes we put it in our mouth just because it's yummy and it's not to keep us alive, it's just yummy. But food's that stuff you put in your mouth to keep you alive. You take it in to give you life. Jesus saying, yeah, sure, but I'm more so. I'm that, but more so. Like, you don't really need lekkers, do you? You don't need stockies. You don't need those things. You don't even need kapana. Jesus says, you really need me. You need me. If you don't have me, you don't have life. I read a quote in the plane while I was flying over here. J.C. Ryle said, "To live on Christ, to draw from Christ, to do all in the strength of Christ, to be ever looking to Christ, this is the true secret of spiritual prosperity." You want to be a prosperous Christian? It's all about Jesus, feeding on Jesus. When we are disconnected from the Lord, as I said, we don't have life. Jesus is promising life here. He finishes by describing this life a little bit more. He says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them." Let me get the other bit here. "This is the bread that came..." Sorry. "Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me." He's saying God is the life giver. God the Father is the great life giver. But if you're connected to Jesus, you're connected to life. John spells this out a bit more in other places. I just want to read these ones quickly. Because we so often think eternal life is like go to heaven after you die. Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." He's praying to the Father at that point. He's saying, knowing God is life. He goes on, "I have given these disciples the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me." The Father is in Jesus. We are in Jesus. We meet in Jesus. In Jesus, we share in the life of God. There's nothing bigger and better than that. We share in the life of God. Finally, Jesus says, "I have made you, Father, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that," get this, "the love, Father, you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." Friends, if you're a Christmas tree, if you don't know Jesus, you're cut off, you don't have spiritual life, you don't know any of this. You're looking elsewhere for life. But God doesn't want that. God's will is to open himself up, to open up his divine life to you and say, "Come on in." And he sent Jesus down onto earth to open up his arms on the cross, his body, his blood, to say, "Come on in. Come into the life of God. Find forgiveness and acceptance. Be a child of God." That's the way. That's the way we're going to find abundant life. All right, I've been talking long enough. Let me wrap up and ask this. It's a new year, 2026. We want to be growing disciples this year. How's that going to happen? By feeding on Jesus. He's the food through which we live spiritually. By feeding on Jesus, that's the way forward. So when you are living your life, and when you're kind of seeking different things, pursuing things in life, what will you pursue? May it be Jesus. May it not be the things of this world. I'm seeking this year, as the year begins, especially as it begins for me, I'm only just settling into it all. I'm gonna try to put in some new habits into my life. I'm aiming, basically, to feed on Jesus. I want to get up each morning and come to him, bring my day to him, bring my life to him, and seek to feed on him, to get into his word, to reflect on his promises, to somehow receive from him. Not to give something to him necessarily, though I give him my life and my worship, but I want to hear from him his promises and his goodness and his life that he has for me, that I might feed on him and then proceed into the day living for him. Can I urge you to do the same? Our goal is to feed on Jesus, not the things of this world. They can't give you life. Only he can. So I'm gonna say a short prayer, but we're actually going to go into communion, where we have that opportunity to tangibly feed on the body and blood of Jesus, put our faith in him, to practice that faith. I'm going to say a short prayer, but then I'm going to put a confession prayer up on here, and we can say that together if you're willing, and then we'll proceed a little further. Let me pray, and then we'll say a prayer together. Lord God, we acknowledge that without you, we don't have life. We want to acknowledge that we often turn to the things that don't give us life. We pursue them, and they leave us empty. We're so thankful, our God, that you long to draw us to yourself, to open yourself up, and to give us satisfying eternal life. Oh, Lord, help us this year to be a church that seeks you and feeds on you and then grows up in you. Amen. I'm going to put up this. Oh, no, it's the next slideshow. Sorry, Larry. It's the next one. It's a confession prayer, acknowledging that we sometimes look in the wrong places. Just like Jeremiah says, sometimes we forsake God, the spring of living water, and we look elsewhere. We dig our own cisterns. So I'll put this prayer up.